It's time for Scuttlebutt Ultras. Quick takes from our Patreon Ultras, sharing their soundest thoughts straight from the heart. Your voice, your moment.
We are back with another segment of Scuttlebutt Ultras. I'm Cameron Collins. I am here with Dan the Bastard, who's got some spicy takes today. I'm excited about. What's up, Dan? How you doing?
I'm doing great. My job decided to pay me today, so I have no complaints.
Yeah, that's always a good thing to have money in your bank account.
Yeah, being paid for the work. I enjoy that. I wonder if the Celtics players enjoy that.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Coming off a match where there was a protest, we were talking a little bit off mic. What are your thoughts on the protest that just happened at the match?
I thought the protest was more exciting than the game. Is that a fair take?
Yeah, I think it could be. Yeah.
So you know, I'm notoriously, especially online, hyperbolic and critical. I will say that I think there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that us, the fans, and maybe even the news media, we're just not privy to. Right, there's a lot of unknowns, and so it's unfair to just jump to conclusions and get super upset at Adrian or the league. But I'm going to workshop a term with you. I want to call it the worker's razor. What I mean by that is whenever there is a dispute between owners and workers, and there's gaps of information, you side with the workers until you get the rest of the information. And I think that's what I'm doing here. Is I love the players. I don't love the owner. I don't know the owner like other people. I haven't been around the team long enough, I guess. But anyways, I love the players. I root for the players and the badge. I definitely would like to see them at least be listened to by the league and ownership.
Yeah. Yeah. And we see the article in Sounder at Heart from Jeremiah O'Shan that did say that Adrian went in on the team. I'm curious, and really he found it disrespectful is what was said in that article. To me, if you're an owner in that situation, you kind of have to step back and realize that it's not necessarily about you. I mean, that didn't need to be viewed as aimed at him. There's only so much he can do as owner, right? It's a single entity league. That was a fine line I had to walk all the time. And I made it clear to the Sounders whenever I'm protesting, it's usually not the Sounders, it's the league. When the Iron Front stuff was going on, I wasn't throwing the Sounders under the bus ever because I knew what they were doing behind the scenes. I was going after the league. And so I think the same kind of what you're saying we need to do with the players, I think the ownership needs to do too and realize that they shouldn't be expected to play for nothing.
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating, and there's been an undercurrent of the term bad vibes gets thrown around a lot, and I'm 40, so I think I maybe missed some of that lingo a little bit, but you know there's been this undercurrent of bad vibes or just upsetness, really mostly stemming from the fans here lately, the past couple of years, but it seems like it may be seeping in with the players too. One of the things I kept thinking about is, as they were talking about the communication piece, and I think Jackson on the radio mentioned multiple times, like, hey, the biggest thing is you know, they need communication. And yeah. That was the same thing that Lodero said. Was whenever he was on his way out, I was like, hey, I didn't get that communication piece. That's the same thing Raul Ruiz Diaz says. Hey, I missed a communication piece. And I wonder if that's kind of becoming a trend, is just that there's a communication breakdown between the top of the organization of the Sounders and the players. And that leads to being on different pages, and that leads to being, situations like this. One of the other things about that is, you know, I was in the service for 21 years. I was in the Air Force, so that may tell you a little bit about where I'm going with this. I lose respect for anybody, any superior that walks in and yells at his employees and throws curse words out of his employees. I lose respect all over the place for that. No one should have to work in an environment where they are berated and cursed at. And if that actually did happen, you know, I know it's sports and maybe locker room talk and stuff like that. But if owners are cursing at employees, to me, that's unacceptable. And I would lose a lot of respect for Adrian if that's true.
Yeah. I mean, I have no doubt he's cursing about the situation. I don't know if he did it directly to the players. Obviously, we don't have that information.
Yeah, that would be a speculation.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it was before your time, I believe, as a Sounders fan. But Eddie Johnson, do you remember when Eddie Johnson did the show me the money sign on the field?
No. Tell me about that.
So Eddie Johnson scored a goal and basically was like, pay me. Did like a money sign as he was running. And Adrian was very upset about it because he felt like it was upstaging him and kind of making him look bad. And I get it on both accounts. But obviously, like you, I'm going to side with players more often than not. It's not the millionaires and billionaires that are entertaining us as much as they want to believe it. And there's plenty of people behind the scenes doing amazing things. I'm not referring to that. I'm just saying I'm there to watch the product on the field, and that product is the players.
Yeah, I'm not buying an Adrian kit. I'm buying a Pedro kit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm grateful for all he's done for the soccer community, and you know, I've gotten a chance to get to know him a little bit, and so maybe there's a little bias there, but it doesn't mean I have to agree with everything that he or the front office does, and I don't. Obviously, I've spent a lot of time talking to them about things I don't agree with, and I think because of the relationship I have fostered with them, it has allowed me to have those conversations. And so you would think that the players would have some good faith just based on their performances alone, let alone what they've done for the team over the years and who they are as people. I think maybe because the locker room's so close too, that maybe there's more solidarity in there than there usually would be.
And it's also possible that Adrian's reaction has taken them by surprise a little bit, thinking that he would, in public in the locker room, maybe support them a little bit more. Or maybe something happened beforehand and they're upset with Adrian too. And, you know, and that goes back to just, we don't know, and I want to support them. I would like one of the reporters to ask one of the players next time, you know, this comes up and one of the media scrums is, because this topic isn't going away. And if you're on Twitter or Discord or, you know, any of the message boards, I think there's a lot of support from the fans for the players. And I think there's a lot of fans who would like to know how the players would like us to support them in this. Is it going out and buying the shirts? I've seen some of the shirts posted in our Discord to go out buy. Now, I don't know who's selling them. I don't know where that money's going to. But is there something like that? Is that what the players want us to do? Is it, you know, just how do they want us to support them? Because I'd be willing to do it.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, part of it, you can always call your ticket rep if you're a season ticket holder and tell them what you think. Usually on business side of things, they don't listen. But in this instance, they might, because it's such a high profile issue.
Huh. Well, maybe I'll just add that right after I get done calling my senators today. I'll give them a call too.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, why don't we talk about the match a little bit, since we are a Sounders podcast, and I could talk about this for hours, but what was your takeaway? Because I think this will again come back to maybe Adrian Hanauer and money for you. What was your takeaway from a 3-2 loss to Minnesota where the score looked much closer than the play on the field?
So I made a mistake before the game. I didn't sit down and watch Minnesota. I'm busy. I'll typically watch the Sounders. I'll watch some Premier League stuff, but I won't just sit and don't have time to watch all the different MLS games. So I made a mistake. I listened to the talking heads and I looked at the stats and the analytics and I was like, hey, feeling pretty good about the Sounders game. And 10 minutes into the game, I was like, uh-oh, I made a mistake. And I think the Sounders felt the same way about 10 minutes into the game too. The Minnesota plays, especially at Lumen Field, they play Seattle Sounders kryptonite, because we cannot do anything against 8, 9 men on the box. And then the way Minnesota can counter out of that, especially whenever we're our offense was so hamstrung, if I can use a word popular with Sounders fans, that we were pushing our right cornerback up and playing him as an extra man, putting crosses into a box with nobody crashing the box. So I going into the season, I was pretty vocal. And after this game, I think I'm still going to remain vocal that the Sounders are a really good team, but they're not a great team. And they're missing a piece that will allow them to break down teams like Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it seems maybe teams have figured it out in that way.
Well, it's been going on for 3 years now, right? Like right. It isn't just this year. It isn't just this game. It's going back a couple years that teams, even bad teams, can come sit down in a low block. And I get it. Low blocks are hard to break down. But if they were impossible, every team would sit in a low block while they're away. And that just doesn't happen. There's other teams in the MLS that can beat a low block. And I think the Sounders, hopefully, I'm sure they are working on it. You hear them using the words like exciting and attack whenever they're talking about bringing in players. So it's something that you know they're working on, something that they're conscious of. I'm just impatient and want to see it happen faster.
Yeah. It's amazing how much offense it seems like we should be able to generate based on, not against a Minnesota, but based on possession, based on the talent we have out there, but we don't have that piece that can kick it into the goal.
I wonder if we fall into a trap of overvaluating some of our players' talent levels, especially since we have a group of guys that are absolutely lovable, right? Is there anybody on this team that you know just doesn't seem like a good person and somebody that you wouldn't like to have a beer with, or right? Everyone on this team.
There's usually a player on every Seattle team I hate, and there is none on this one.
Yeah, there's none. So that makes it harder to say that I love all the players, but still think that we're missing some sort of final touch that would move us from being a fourth, fifth best team in the West to a first, second best team in the West.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think part of that is you look at the results we get down the stretch, and it reinforces every year that maybe we don't need to spend.
Well, it's because we have one of the best coaches in the league. That helps. It's hard to say whenever you have a team that is good, and they get hot at the end. It's hard to say, well, who do you want to replace? I mean, even looking at the roster right now, I don't know which in the attacking band I want to yank off and put my unnamed superstar that we conceptualize to be that piece that's going to turn us into a top one, top two team. I don't know who I would yank off.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's easier with injuries right now, but this is why before the season I was calling for he's injured and also wasn't playing as well this year as last year, but a Gabriel Peck type player, a 10 to 12 million level DP young player that could come in and develop into a superstar. De La Vega may be that, but and I'm guessing it was Botafogo. Did you see the reports that one of the teams in the Club World Cup were interested?
Yeah, I did notice. I'll have to go back and rewatch it, but I'm pretty sure Craig Weibel said that they have shown interest in the past. And so yeah. I kind of took it to mean like maybe they're not knocking the door for them right now, right. But they were one of the teams in the past and could still be, because, you know, teams like to scout players long term. And there's a term in the scouting world. If you've seen a player do it once, he's going to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. And it could have been before his injury too, when he was on his way to being an Argentinian darling. Before it kind of set him back. But my guess is it could have been Botafogo, because otherwise, I mean, he could be on the radar of PSG and Atletico Madrid, but that's a big step.
Yeah. And, I know that there's been reporting that we could move him sooner rather than later and free up that DP spot. But again, I think I would be a little bit sad to see De La Vega go, even though he hasn't blossomed into the game-changing player that we hope that he can be. I would really like for him to do that with us. But if we can get some of the money back and then turn that back into another transfer fee, that's the important part. It's one thing to sell a player. It's another thing to go back and replace the player.
I'd be curious, though, if he maybe is doing what he's expected to do and there's just no one to score. I mean, he's going to score some goals, but you see him do some incredible things, and then we just have no real presence in the box. In fact, the only time we scored in that game was when we did a nice little ground cross to the back of the box, which that's when we had Christian on the wing. That's how he would score. He'd come in that late run, and they'd know to pass it to that point, and he would score. And that's something that historically the Sounders have been great at, but we haven't been doing it all this year.
Yeah, and it's, again, we're playing with Moose and Jesus Ferreira up top because we're missing Jordan. And, you know, he's looked good, but it's, and soccer's a team sport, and you need to have somebody there on the other end of the pass. So that's a fair statement with Pedro and what we, you know, maybe what they want him to do is getting those crossings. There were a lot of crosses coming in Sunday and just nobody was there in the box. A lot of good crosses. And there just wasn't somebody there on the other end ready to receive it and put it in.
Ryan Kent had an incredible one to over the top to Danny Mazowski, and he just couldn't get on the end of it. But it was like perfectly placed right in between the defenders, right to Danny. And I was like, oh my God, this guy is incredible.
Yeah, he's still exciting. I know some people have talked about him, you know, not being as exciting playing whole games, you know, as he was against St. Louis. But I think there's a lot of potential there. Maybe that's what's so frustrating too, is we look at this roster and we just see potential all over the place, and we can't break down a low block. Now, a lot of people haven't been able to break down Minnesota's low block. So they are a good team.
True. They are the second place team in the West now, just behind Vancouver for first, I think.
And I don't think they're unbeatable. I don't even think they're unbeatable for a Sounders team that notoriously is bad at breaking down a low block, because that's one of the things Brian's shown the ability to do, is look at film and come back on a second time and have a completely different game. Look at how different the San Diego game was the second time. Now it was a hard game. It was my favorite game of the year because it was a fight, and but he still did it. The same thing with LA in the playoffs. What was it? Was that last year, right? Where we beat LA in the playoffs, sent them home after they ate our lunch four or five times during the season.
All season long.
And so I do have, where I have faith in this organization is with Brian and his ability to figure stuff out. And that's probably a testament to why we do tend at the end of the year to get things back together. You know, so the rational part of me is not worried all that much about this Minnesota game. My heart, though, is like, man, I wish we had something that could just turn us into an elite team.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we're close.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So before we get out of here real quick, we got Sunday night football again, 3 p.m. start in Vancouver this Sunday against a Vancouver team that is licking their wounds after getting absolutely demolished by Cruz Azul in the CONCACAF Champions Cup final. So I can't get over CCC instead of CCL. Rumor has it that they aren't going to be full roster-wise because they've got players away on international duty. What is your thinking coming out of this Minnesota game going into a clearly not a must-win game, but against one of your rivals, a chance to bounce back?
You know, season-wise, standing-wise, the game is, you know, it's always helpful to win the game, but I don't think it's a make or break for the season. Vibe-wise and where we're at just in our psyche and probably the team psyche, I think it's a really important game, confidence-wise, to go out there and beat a team that is good but is missing all their good players. You know, I've heard that it could be up to 9 other starters missing out. So
that'd be incredible.
Yeah, you're playing Vancouver 2 at that point, right? You know, that's not really, that they have backups, and obviously they're still good enough at soccer to be backups, which is saying a lot. So they're going to be going up against the athletes. They're going to be going up against some players that are probably younger and hungry. But I think it's very important for the Sounders to come out and, getting 3 points isn't going to fix everything, but it's going to go a long way and having some good feelings and probably helping with the chemistry too with the team, especially going into the World Cup. I'm sure we'll talk about it next week or in one of the weeks coming up. But I'm not super excited for the World Cup. I know a lot of people are, and it's okay for, I will admit that sometimes I have opinions that are way outside the norm, and that's probably one of them. So I think it's really important.
I don't think Sounders fans are excited for Sounders matches necessarily, but I do think, like, I'm excited for it, just not necessarily for the Sounders.
Yeah,
watch the
that's
Sounders
the way to
series.
Say it. I'm excited for the Sounders. I'm not excited to see the Sounders, but now I'm excited that, like, how cool is it that Rothrock's is going to be on the field versus PSG, right? Like, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for Rothrock. I'm excited for the players. I'm not excited to turn the TV on and watch us get smashed.
Yeah, I think it's going to be scary.
So but that just goes back into, I think that this Vancouver game, especially with the Club World coming up, and even though we know that the outcomes are not going to be good from the Club World Cup, it still does not feel good to lose. It still does not feel good to sit there and watch your team lose. And so I think it's important to go into this on a high. If we come up and we lay an egg against Vancouver and then go get smashed for 3 games in the Club World Cup, I believe we start playback at home versus Austin. And, that's another team that likes to come into Lumen and bunker. And, we famously take, 15 shots on target and still don't score.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, I think vibe wise, this is a very important game, and I expect them to. I expect for a mature Sounders team to come out there and win the game.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. Well, thank you, Dan. They can find you on the Discord.
Yeah.
Dan the Bastard.
Yeah, come check me out on the Discord.
Where you have some great takes and. Even when we're bantering back and forth, don't think I'm necessarily disagreeing with you. I'm just offering information.
Hey, this is, I'm glad we get a close on this. This is a great thing to close on. If you're listening to this and you're not on the Discord, you need to get on the Discord, because the information that we get on the Discord from the Alliance Council, I mean, it's not super secret sauce, but it's insight that you won't get anywhere else, and it will help you have a better informed view of what's going on with the Sounder. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's been so much fun to create the great little community there and have you all involved. I mean, this lately, based on results, this has been my favorite part of the show, is getting to record with you right here in the Ultra segment.
Awesome. Glad to hear it.
So cool. All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, see you later.
Back with Alex Diaz here on Scuttlebutt Ultras, the segment of Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Alex, what is up
today?
Hey,
Cameron, how's it going?
Not too bad. Got a chance to hang out a bit with you at the match this past Sunday. That was fun until my dad showed up and I had to run away. Did you win anything?
No, we didn't win anything, but there was this lady that won like twice or three times.
Whoa, that's a complete random raffle.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, she already won one. Let someone else win.
Well, hopefully she had a kid.
Yeah,
with
I think
her.
She had 3 tickets in total.
Okay, good. Then at least she can spread the love around. How are you feeling about that match against Minnesota? I mean, Minnesota, that's who we played. I forgot the Mariners played Minnesota too, so it's all very
good. Well, I guess 2-1 for my prediction, but I guess we called the baseball game.
Yeah.
But in the first half, I got a lot of deja vu from Houston when we played them at home, that 0-0 draw, where we had, we had possession. We just couldn't find a way to break down their low block. And then in the second half, everything just, you know, like, broke down. Counterattacks. And then, well, we did, we were able to score, but we were already down. Like, it took us to go down 2-0 to claw back into the game. Like, wake us up.
Do you think there was anything that you saw there that shows us that the Sounders could come back in a game like that?
I think so. It's just hard once you go down 3-1 in the second half. And there was, to me, there was a lack of urgency. Like when the ball went out on a goal kick, our players, instead of running to get the ball to the goalie, put it down on the six, they just like slowly walked away, and their goalie was able to milk at least 20 to 30 seconds every time he had a goal kick.
Yeah, I was counting, and one time he took 12 seconds from the time he laid the ball down until he kicked it, which is clearly against the rules, but the ref didn't seem to want to enforce that.
Yeah, we see that. That's very common. In all the leagues where the refs don't really want to enforce how much time the goalie takes when he's either, you know, he has to play it out when it's in play or like a goal kick. They don't really want to enforce that, but they're going to enforce the 8-second rule in Club World Cup, where if the goalie holds it, the ball long for 8 seconds, then it's going to be a corner kick for the opposite team. But we'll see if it actually gets enforced.
Yeah. It's a much less penalizing play in that instance, so hopefully it will.
Yeah. So, but that's what I took away, was just a lack of urgency. And then once we went down, there was some urgency. But there's still felt like we could have done more.
Do you think that lethargy had anything to do with kind of the dispute over the Club World Cup pay, or do you think it just a lot of games and a lot of days?
I think it's a little bit of both, because our lineup wasn't too rotated. We had some rotation, but Kalani started, he scored, and then we brought Georgie off the bench and he scored the own goal. But later in the interview that was put on the Discord, you could see that Christian and Fry and everyone there was saying that, like, the whole protest, it is a distraction. And it's in the back of their minds as they're trying to concentrate on the match, but in the back of their mind, they're thinking, like, I have this, there's this tournament coming up that I don't get no benefit of the prize money, yet I'm the reason why we're even in the competition, but we can't reap the rewards. And if we have a season-ending injury and we're on a contract year, the club can just say, you know what, we got to part ways with you.
Yep. Absolutely. And you know, I honestly don't think it's distracting in that it's going to make them play less hard during the match. But, you know, there may be a little bit of disgruntledness there. I think where we'll really see it is in the Club World Cup, if there's not a something done about this before then. And, I mean, we're 2 weeks away, right?
Yeah, so. Less than 2 weeks away. And the thing is that the club and the league has known that we were going to participate in this tournament for over 2 years. The prize money got announced, I want to say, 6 months ago, maybe. So we knew that it was coming. And the player's voice that they wanted.
Yeah, Fry's been talking about it.
Yeah, he said that he's been trying to have discussions behind closed doors, so there's not this kind of noise and buzz that the media will pick up. But they made it seem like when they want to have those conversations, they're just being brushed off. Like they're saying, oh, we'll get to it later. And then later they keep pushing it back. And then now it's like, well, it's going to be in 2 weeks and there's, we have no idea of what's going to happen.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's a chance for players to shine on an international stage. So for some of them, it can be good, but that's the same idea as hiring an intern and not paying them, right? Interns need to get paid too, because labor's labor.
Yeah, or it's almost as if you let go of someone that has been in the company for 15 years to hire a new hire that you can pay less to do the exact same job.
Yep, exactly. So do you think there'll be any hangover from that as we head into Sunday against Vancouver, a depleted Vancouver who also got absolutely smacked in the CONCACAF Champions Cup final, but probably looking to rebound before the tournament that we're playing in coming up?
I think that both teams will have some sort of hangover, but I think Seattle's going to be more – is going to come with, like, they smell blood in the water because they were really frustrated with how the game played out on Sunday. And then, well, Vancouver's obviously frustrated because, you know, they were really looking forward to this final against Cruz Azul. And to lose out the way that they did, it's just shocking. Like, I didn't expect it to be that bad.
Yeah. Who's the dog making a cameo right now?
That was Apollo making another appearance.
What up, Apollo?
We had to let him out.
Yeah. It's okay. We love the animals making guest appearances on the podcast. It's always fun.
Yeah. I think.
Do you think this is a crucial 3 points for the Sounders going into the Club World Cup?
Oh yeah, it's even bigger now with all the media attention they got with the protest. Like, now if they don't get results going their way, then they're gonna say, "Why should we pay you when you're not winning games in the league?" Like, I know it sucks to say that, but that's going to be the other side of the argument. It's like, you guys are too distracted with this prize money that you guys aren't able to focus on getting results. Like, I'll take a draw at Vancouver. But they're going to be missing, what's it, Berhalter's going to be gone on international duty. They're going to have some hangover from the Club World Cup run and the final. Like, I think this is a good opportunity for the Sounders to pounce and, like, almost kick them when they're down.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that I feel like the Sounders haven't done this season. Like Dallas, missing players, and we did end up winning 1-0, but, you know, it took a penalty to do that. We weren't able to pounce on the team, and so this feels like another opportunity to do so, and they need to figure out a way to take advantage of it.
Yeah. And especially because if we're able to take points from Vancouver, it gives us a better chance to, like, move up the table. And we had an opportunity to be, I think, either in third or second if we got a result on Sunday's game, but obviously the game didn't go our way. So hopefully we're able to stop, get some points against Vancouver, and that just closes the gap.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 3 points would be ideal, but at this point you take any points. Just trying to stay on, you know, on task or on pace with them as they're in first place. Before we get out of here, is there anything else you want to hit on Sounders topics?
You know, it's kind of funny that when I look at it, that Seattle earned to be in Club World Cup. Yeah, we got the hardest group out of the MLS teams.
Yeah, it's rough. It's LAFC got the easiest, and they only made it on arguably a technicality.
Yeah, and then the boys over in Miami got an easy group too. And then,
well, theirs is pretty hard if you think about the Brazilian teams being good, but it's not as hard as ours, I think.
No, yeah, we got to play against the European champions that demolished one of the best Italian sides we've seen in a while, 5-0. We got to play against arguably one of the most hardworking and defensive teams in Spain. And then we got to play against a Brazil team that just won. Was there Copa Libertadores? Was it last year?
Copa Libertadores, yeah.
So we got to play.
Yeah. Early, beginning of our season.
Yeah, because I do remember because we were looking at their number 9 to try to sign them.
Yeah.
But we got D-Row.
Exactly. I mean, he had some good play out there, but he's not, you know, a $10 million
player. No, he's a diamond in the rough. We got to polish him up. But I think if we give him time, he'll be a good player.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll talk Club World Cup more when that comes around. Where can people find you on the Discord and
internet? They can find me at the Discord, AlexDS. And then on Instagram at Alex_DS509.
Awesome. Always exciting to have you here, and we'll see you again next week.
Yes. You have a good rest of your day. Thank you for your time.
What is up, Cedar? How you doing?
I am personally doing all right. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing. Oh, good. I even have my headphone on my ear. I probably shouldn't do that with my ruptured eardrum.
There we go.
Yeah.
congratulations to your club, PSG.
Oh, thank you.
For winning Champions League. That's a pretty big deal. That was a massacre.
Yeah. It was insane. Almost maybe worse. No. Vancouver losing to Cruz Azul was worse for them because it was so much faster.
Oof, yeah. They had zero shots at all. So I would say that's surprised. Probably worse. Yeah.
It's super exciting. And now we will be getting them in Seattle come 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, something like that.
Wait, isn't it next week?
It starts Sunday? Botafogo is next Sunday. So
Wow. All right. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. And then, or not next Sunday, Sunday after, I should say. So it's a week and a half. Saturday after. I think it's Atletico Madrid, then PSG. Plus, we're also getting the Champions League losers in Seattle. I'm going to Urawa Red Diamonds versus Inter Milan.
Oh, nice. That should be a fun match.
Yeah. So it'll be cool to see some, world-class teams here when they probably won't start their starters, but I was talking to Craig Weibel, the GM, at an event this past match day, and he said even PSG's backups could destroy us.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's a economies of scale, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, totally. Well, that'll be cool to see. I love that everybody up in Seattle is going to have these opportunities to see not just us playing the World Cup, but all of these other teams. It's pretty cool. But yeah, this Minnesota game. It was frustrating in ways that the other two games weren't frustrating, because it was like, okay, well, we the only game that we've come back from to win this year was the St. Louis match, and that had a completely different tenor because they had a PK early and then we scored a PK right after that. This game felt like we could have built some momentum. They scored too quick and then we scored one, but then you know, they scored their third in short order. So it was kind of a classic Minnesota, you know, seeding possession for most of the game. They only had like 35% possession, and we couldn't break them down really like we wanted to.
Absolutely. I think it was, well, 3 goals for them and 1 goal for us at over 8 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. And
pretty wild.
It was pretty wild. And we had 0.8 XG to their 2.5 XG. Although Shea, he accounted for 1.4 of that. He was having a great game. You know, we did have, I was talking about this in the Discord with some other people. We had an interesting tactical wrinkle, which I thought made sense, where we knew Minnesota was going to sit in a little bit. And we had Jackson come up on the right-hand side, almost like a wingback. And it seemed like it let Pedro play a little bit more centrally. And Jackson didn't have a ton of... He had a few moments. It wasn't like he was the main focal point of our attack in those situations, but he did have a really nice cross in that Rothrock, unfortunately, you know, leaned back a little bit. He wasn't able to get a good strike on it, but yeah, it was very, very close to being a goal. So yeah, I saw that and I was like, oh, okay, I like that, because we know how good Jackson is with the ball at his feet in terms of distributing and passing. So I liked that. Unfortunately, it didn't pan out, but I did like seeing them introduce that.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see them trying something different when obviously the inability to score is an issue.
Yes. Yeah, and then Minnesota got their first goal, and we had numbers back too. It wasn't like it was a breakaway and the guy was 1v1. We had numbers back. Lode just laid it off to Oluwaseyi, a little cutback, and I thought Reagan could have done a little bit better on that one. I mean, we had numbers in the box. We just, nobody picked him up, and he had just enough time to smash it in. So, yeah. And then on their second goal, Christian, it was so weird getting him seeing him beat out by Pereira down the wing. You know, they're fighting, they're hand fighting, all this stuff. And usually Christian wins those battles. But Pereira was a little bit stronger. And then Bell was, he was a little bit late, and that was just a bad step.
Yeah.
Completely crashes into, I think it was Oluwaseyi again.
I think Christian did his job though on that, where he kept him occupied. Oh, cool. and pushed him off to the side. Bell needs to do better there. He needs to not take him down.
Yes.
He needs to stop short and just be a body in front of him.
Oh, totally. I agree. I mean, yeah, Christian, you'll take that from Christian. I mean, what else is he going to do, right? He's keeping the attacker mostly at bay. Yeah, that was just an unfortunate decision from Bell. So, yeah, then they get the penalty. They're up 2-1 or 2-0, and then we score right away, which was nice. It really felt like, okay, all right, let's get some. We got one back. Let's keep the momentum going. And you know, I really like Kalani Kosarianzi and the hustle that he puts in and the energy. You know, he has a kind of a Pedro sort of energy to him. You know, and he was in the right place, right time in the box. Cut back from Pedro to him, and that was nice to see. And then that third goal, again, Tani Oluwaseyi, he kind of bodied Nuhu a little bit and smashed it in. He had a great game. He really had a great game. So yeah, it was disappointing because we got outplayed, and yeah, we ended up getting the own goal. But it was too little too late. So
yeah, a lot of pressure at the end, looked like maybe, but just not enough time. Do you think there's anything the Sounders can take out of that game heading into another quote unquote Sunday night match that starts at 3 p.m. against Vancouver up in Canada this coming Sunday?
I mean, I think Vancouver plays somewhat similarly to Minnesota, yeah, where they like to, they don't necessarily want the ball all the time.
Yeah, but not to the degree that
not to the degree anyone plays that. Very extreme. Yeah, it's very extreme. They definitely have more of a midfield that likes to, you know, carry the ball up through. But I mean, Vancouver's a really good team. Yes, they just lost to Cruz Azul in the Champions League final, but you know they're going to want to bounce back. Obviously. I think
they might be missing some players to the international break, so that might be the one thing that works for the Sounders here.
I hadn't thought about that, but that's a great point. I think Nicholas mentioned it on the last episode.
Yeah.
But still, it doesn't matter. It was funny on the broadcast. I was watching and I heard the commentators say, especially because, we've had injuries at center back and all this stuff. And they talked about Seattle's got that next man up mentality. And I'm like, at this point, what team doesn't, like literally every professional sports team, you're going to have that. But I mean, it's going to be tough. I don't know if there's going to be any kind of hangover from Vancouver because that was a tough game for them at altitude down in Mexico and super demoralizing. But I think it's going to be just as difficult as Minnesota. I don't see it being any easier, they're depleted or, they're missing guys to international break. I know that everybody that they put out on the field is really going to want to, get 3 points against us.
Yeah.
So if we played like we did for stretches in the second half for the whole game against them, then I'll feel better about our chances. But I think just those little individual mistakes that are biting us. Yeah. That's what it is. It's not our tactical setup. It's not our total team play. It's just a little lapse of judgment here and there. And I was disappointed in Bell. I like him. I think he's a great player, but when you make mistakes like that, it's like, all right, don't do that again, please.
Yeah. But I would say overall, he's been pretty solid for us considering the position he's been put in.
Definitely. We'll see. And then I guess the other thing we could talk about is the protest that the players had with the shirts.
Yeah, players wore the
thoughts on that initially?
I mean,
yeah. And those were nice too. It wasn't just like words on a t-shirt. They had the Mr. Monopoly on there.
Yeah.
Those were well done.
I am surprised the MLS has not engaged with the players on this. And maybe they thought they could get away with it because Seattle, at least outwardly, is the only one grumbling. It doesn't seem Miami is. And that could be because, now LAFC, but this all largely happened before they were going to the Club World Cup. Miami's players are a lot richer as a total based on the amount of money. Totally. I mean, it's like when the adjunct professors at Seattle University were unionizing, they didn't include the law adjuncts because they were like, oh, they're rich lawyers. They don't need it. I'm like, hey, you can include me. But
not all of us.
But
no, totally. I think that's these are really fair points.
Yeah.
What they want is clear communication, right? And they want a fair shake. I mean, I saw some people bringing up the fact that because of MLS's collective bargaining rules and all of the financial restrictions to roster building, that when LA Galaxy brought in Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and in the first year they couldn't sign him as a DP. Because they already had those slots filled, they still had to pay him what he's worth, right? So they bought him a hockey team in Europe to circumnavigating the rules, right? I mean, messy with the Apple TV deal, all, you know, Adidas getting in on that, right? The league finds ways or turns a blind eye, right, to bringing in players and making players that they feel like, oh, these are assets to our league. And say what you will about that, but when you have a team like the Sounders who actually earned their way into the Club World Cup, and then they get zero response from not just the league, but it also sounds like, I was watching just before we hopped on here, a YouTube video that Pulso Sports posted, an interview with Christian and Steph and a few of the players in the locker room after the Minnesota match. And they were asked like, oh, have you guys talked to Adrian Hanauer about this? And they had basically said, they alluded to like, they've been trying to have discussions with the ownership and, you know, the league. And so far they've gotten almost nothing. And it's, you know, it's however many days out from the Club World Cup starting. So they felt like, you know, they have to bring it up. And they said, they're like, yeah, this is a distraction. You know, like, obviously we wanted to win, but this is on our minds. This has been a distraction for a while now, and we're not getting any clarity.
And for those who don't know, I guess we should say that the issue is that MLS caps what players can get paid, and it's $1 million, and that's not per player, that's total for all the players. And they've already met that cap for all competitions. Because of Leagues Cup. So they're basically playing in this tournament for free.
Yeah. And they said, they're like, look, we get that it's tiered. Like, Steph was like, yeah, PSG is a bigger club. Like, we all understand that they're going to get paid more money.
Yeah.
We're fine with that. We just want to get paid
something
fair. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's super fair. Nobody wants to work for free, yeah, you know? Or for less than they're worth.
And then this tournament was not, did not exist in this format when the CBA was signed. And so it was not a forward looking CBA that could have determined that this would happen, or maybe even Leagues Cup in its current format could happen.
Right. And what that tells me is, because there wasn't anything specific about this, it tells me that the league so far has not been acting in good faith towards the players, right? Because MLS can do what it wants in terms of all the money stuff. We've seen it time and time again, right? And it's just really unfortunate. And I think you made a great point that, again, like, a lot of the players on Inter Miami, yeah, they're probably not speaking up because they're, you know, they're doing all right. They're doing all right financially. Whereas we've got a lot of players who are, you know, they're earning great wages, but they don't want to play for free, and they shouldn't have to play for free.
Especially they're also not earning great wages compared to other professional athletes.
Yeah, no, totally. And they earned this spot, you know, that's the other thing too. They actually earned this berth. So I think it's great that they're speaking up about it and causing a stink, because that's how things get changed. Yeah. If they stayed silent, we wouldn't even be talking about this. So I'm glad that they're speaking up. And hopefully the league finds it in themselves to do the right thing and figure out how to make this right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So where can they find you, Cedar? On the Discords?
Yes, I will be on the Discords. So come join.
Come join us. Good conversations, especially during matches. It's harder when I'm at the match to get involved, but
totally.
I'm there with my dad, so I'm usually engaging with him, but it's
nice.
It's good times to be there. Yeah, it's my dad's 84, so I love to be able to go to all the games with him.
That's awesome. That's the best.
Yeah. I know you watch them with your dad too, so.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's the best.
Cool. Well, we'll talk to you next week, and people have been raving about your appearances on the show so far, so keep up the good work.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Cool. I'll try not to let it go to my head.
All right. Oh, we'll talk to you soon.
Good stuff. Thanks, Cameron. See ya.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents, or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.